right, let's turn in our Bibles to Joshua chapter 23 tonight. We saw in chapter 22 just a zeal to obey as the tribes of Reuben and Gad and Manasseh, half tribe of Manasseh, they have fulfilled their commitment to the Lord and to the people of Israel. They had fought alongside of them, and now they were returning back to their inheritance, which was on the eastern side of the Jordan. Now, we saw also that they erected an altar, and that altar initially was a great offense to the people on the western side, and they drew their armies together for battle, and yet they understood finally, after sending a contingent of men, that this altar was to stand as a memorial, as a mark, to show both the Israelites on the western side and on the eastern side that, hey, we belong together, we are of the same people, of the same God. A zeal for obedience and a passion to keep one's commitment. Well, chapter 23 begins with these words, and it came to pass a long time after. Those words communicate that there's a lot of things that happened and a lot of time has passed from verse chapter 22 and chapter 23. I don't know the exact age of Joshua when he entered into the Promised Land. Some estimate in his 40s, some in his 60s. But we do know when he died. He died at the age of 110. And this chapter tells us that he is nearing the end of his life. And we're going to see that. I want you to think about this. This is Joshua. Joshua was part of this generation, of the original generation that was brought forth out of Egypt. So he would have known what it was like in Egypt. He would have witnessed the plagues. Witnessed those plagues. He came out. He was at Mount Sinai. And he is described as the servant of Moses. He was his minister. He walked alongside of Moses and was his right-hand man, his helper. And so he was there and he saw Mount Sinai and the glory of God that descended there, the holiness of God, and he saw and he heard the original giving of the law as Moses read it to the people. Joshua was there when the 12 spies were sent into the Promised Land, and he was one of two that returned back and said, "Let's go, let's take this land. God is faithful." Joshua was there as God said, "If you will reject my plan and choose to not go in, I will send you back into the wilderness." And they wandered another 38 years. Joshua was there. Joshua was there when Moses said his final words in Deuteronomy. And Moses handed over the leadership to Joshua, commemorating it by laying on his hands upon Joshua in front of the entire company of Israel. And the transmission of leadership was set. Joshua was to be the next leader. And Eleazar the priest was to be by his side. Joshua was there. Joshua was there as he led the people across the Jordan River. And it separated as the priest's feet stepped into the water. And Joshua saw the people of Israel cross the Jordan. And then once they were all across, and once they had established markers and memorials, the water came back. Joshua was there when the Battle of Jericho took place and the walls came tumbling down. Joshua was there when they attacked Ai and he saw his people being destroyed and slaughtered because of sin in the camp. Joshua was there when Achan was punished because he had taken what was not rightfully his. Joshua led the people in battle after battle after battle, victory after victory after victory. Joshua was there. In fact, he was deceived, and he did not seek the counsel of the Lord when the Gibeonites came And Joshua saw what it meant to not keep your commitments and not seek counsel from the Lord. And Joshua was there when it came time to divide up the inheritance, and he did so with the priest's help by lot, and he gave each tribe their inheritance. Joshua was there when the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and Manasseh had done their bidding, and he said, "You may go and return back." You see, Joshua had seen a lot. You see, Joshua was a connection to a past, a rich heritage, a rich past of the workings of God. Because the people of Israel had spent 400 years in Egypt where they had not seen God work. They were enslaved under the oppression of the Egyptians. But then God came through the person Moses and unlocked his power, unleashed it upon Egypt, and Joshua was able to see this. And so Joshua is a link back to a heritage that this new generation, now in the promised land, many of whom might have never met Moses or heard his voice, Joshua was a link. He had seen much. He was the bridge from this glorious past and the mighty workings of God to the new generation. And it came to pass a long time after that the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all their enemies round about, that Joshua waxed old and stricken in age. Anybody here tonight waxed old and stricken in age? You got wax on that head there, Winston, right? Yep. All right. Waxed old and stricken in age. All right. So this is an important detail in the text. Joshua is old. It's just implying what? He's nearing death. In fact, the text tells us later on that it says that he is about ready to go. Verse 14, "This day, in fact, I am going the way of all the earth," it says. Chapter 23, verse 14. So this very day, he believes he will die. And so we're listening to some final words. Final words are powerful, aren't they? I mean, why is it that we cling so much to the final words of our loved ones? Why is it that we want to know, what was the last thing they said? You know, especially as you think of, I mean, even if it's a tragic accident, what do? You go back to the last times you were with them, don't you? You think about it. You dwell upon that because it was those last moments that you hold to. If it was something expected and you're by their side as they go slowly and peacefully into eternity, you want to be there to hear their last words, because they know death is approaching. And what is on their mind? What comes forth from them? Joshua's final words are recorded for us. And chapter 23 is part of that statement, the speech that he gives. He's calling all Israel together, their elders, their heads, the judges, and for their officers, and he says unto them, he's speaking here primarily to the leadership of the people of Israel. "I am old and stricken in age," verse 3, "and you have seen all that the Lord your God has done unto all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he that hath fought for you." One of the main emphases that we see in this final words of Joshua is an emphasis upon remembering. An emphasis upon recalling to mind what you have known, what you have seen, or what has transpired and happened to you and to your people. And we see here that you have seen all that God has done unto these nations because of you. all that the Lord God hath done unto all these nations because of you. Because God cares about you. Have you seen what he has done? Remember, the Lord your God has fought for you. The Lord has fought for you. Remember this. Think about the treasure that memory alone brings to a heart. As Joshua is going to go the way of all the earth, as it says, and pass away, and that link and that bridge to the past is gone, they will still have this truth in their mind. You know what? The Lord has fought for us. He fought for us in Egypt through the plagues and delivering us from Egypt. He fought for us at the Red Sea when he parted the waters and he delivered us across and the sea came down upon the Egyptian army. He fought for us. God fought for us at Jericho. Nothing else could explain what happened to those walls as they came tumbling down, and a great victory was theirs. God fought for us. God fought for us throughout battle after battle after battle. Oh, don't forget, the Lord your God has fought for you. How has God fought for you, church? How has God fought for you? How is it that you can say, you know what? God's on my side. God's got me, and he's got my back. I was reminded, and perhaps other scriptures may come to your mind, but I was reminded of this admonition that, interestingly enough, comes from some of the final words that Jesus gives his disciples before his death. In John chapter 16, verse 33, we read this: "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." I have overcome the world. And so, church, just as the Israelites were instructed, hey, don't forget, you know what? The Lord has fought for you. Church, don't forget that the Lord has overcome for you. I have overcome the world, Jesus said. And you know what? He said this before his death. That's how sure it is. God is victorious. He's the overcomer. And through Jesus Christ, we are overcomers. And you know, what is it said that to the churches in Revelation? To those who have overcome. That's the mark of the true believer, an overcomer. But we're overcomers only because of the work of Jesus Christ. How about in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4? You know this verse as well. "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than what? Than he that is in the world." Our God is greater. And the Israelites needed to keep that in mind. Your God is greater. He has fought for you. Back to Joshua chapter 23. Remember, the Lord your God has fought for you. Verse 4. "Behold, I have divided unto you by lot these nations that remain, to be an inheritance for your tribes, from Jordan, with all the nations that I have cut off, even unto the great sea westward. And the Lord your God, he shall expel them from before you, and drive them from out of your sight, and you shall possess their land, as the Lord your God hath promised unto you." Oh, Israel, not only do you need to remember the Lord has fought for you, but you know what? Remember what the Lord has promised unto you. Remember what the Lord has promised unto you. You see, the Lord had promised to give them this land. The Lord had promised to honor their obedience through driving out the people that were before them. The Lord had promised to bless them. He had given them a covenant through Abraham. This is your land, you shall have a seed, and you shall have blessing. I want you to remember the promises that God has given unto you. So I ask you tonight, are you remembering the promises that the Lord your God has given unto you? You know, it is the promises of God upon that's what provides stability for us. It is the promises of God that in the midst of the fray and the battles and the hardships and the trials and the difficulties, you hold to the promises. It's the, you know, you could take all kinds of various different images, but it's like that image of you need to be rescued. You're all running and it's dark and it's misty and you know that there is a place to escape. You know it leads to escape. And you find it. And it is the exact truth that God said, this is your escape. You see, the Bible can say God is faithful because the Bible has promises from God and God keeps them. It is the evidence. God is faithful. You know, as we think about promises, I'm sure many things come to your mind as you think of promises, but listen to what it says in 2 Corinthians. I want to share with you just the end of chapter 6, the beginning of chapter 7. So 2 Corinthians chapter 6, the end of it talks about the importance of coming out and being separate. Touch not the unclean thing and I will receive you. Verse 18. So 2 Corinthians 6:18 says, and will be a father. I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. You see, these promises of God helps us remember, you know what God does. You know what he's talking about. God is faithful. I can trust him. Therefore, it matters how I live. Let me live holy. I need to live a holy life. Also, in 2 Peter, there's this great truth in chapter 1. 2 Peter, chapter 1. Look at verse 3 and 4. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lusts. Amen? I mean, we're talking some exceeding great and precious promises. And Joshua, in his final words to the Israelites, is reminding them, remember what the Lord your God has promised unto you. If you forget and you lose sight of these promises, then you will lose sight of the goal and you will not see God's faithfulness as it unfolds. Remember God's promises and watch for them to be kept, to be fulfilled. You know, you think of the promise that God is going to send a deliverer through the seed of the woman. He gave this promise to in the presence of Adam and Eve when he gave the curse to the serpent, Genesis 3:15. And this promise, generation after generation held to, God's going to deliver. God will deliver. God's going to send a deliverer. He will send a deliverer. And then God builds upon that promise as the covenants are given. And as the Old Testament rolls on, you begin to see this picture of God is going to deliver. And it's going to be through the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And it's going to be through the seed of David. And then the New Testament comes bursting upon the scene, and Jesus Christ is introduced to the world by angels, and the shepherds hear, he's here. So remember, the Lord your God has fought for you. Remember, the Lord your God has what he has promised unto you. Now, there are some important things, yes, you need to remember, but there are some other things that you need to be wary of, to be aware of, to do. Verse 6, be ye therefore courageous. So yes, we need to remember these things. But in the sphere of remembering, let's be courageous. Be courageous to keep and to do. I mean, Joshua 23:6, be courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that you turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left, that you come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them. Be courageous. What does it mean to be courageous? You know, as I think about that, if I tell my sons, you know, be courageous, the context of that conversation is what? You're going to face a difficulty, son. Be courageous. The call for courage only matters in times of difficulty. If there is no difficulty, if there is no trouble, if there is no trial, there's no need for courage. So what is God saying here to the people of Israel? Be ye therefore very courageous. Times are going to be hard. And in fact, he describes what that's going to be like. You're going to have nations all around you. Nations that do not love God. Nations that will want to infiltrate into your faith community and want to live and draw you away from God. So therefore, you are to be very courageous to do what? To keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that you turn not to the right or to the left, that you are laser focused keeping the word of God. Just on a side note, do you notice here, it says, keep the book of the law of Moses, all that is written therein. They had the written word of God at this point. Joshua had it in his hand, and the people of Israel had the written word of God. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, they had it written down. And now the emphasis is not upon obey what Moses said, rather obey what Moses wrote. And so we see God's preservation of his revelation, of his word through writing. This is the word of God. You see it already here with the people of Israel. Well, be ye therefore courageous to do and to keep all that is written in the book of the law of Moses. You have to be courageous to obey the word of God. If we stay cloistered in our own small little group and do not venture out beyond, but yet seek to maintain a status quo amongst ourselves, there's no need for courage because there will be no trouble. Yes, dear ones, listen. The church needs to be alive. It needs to be pure, but it needs to be alive and pure in the world. Not of the world, but in this world. And the call is to be courageous. Be courageous to keep what God has said. Because there will be difficulty and there will be trouble, and there the world wants to draw us. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life are real. So you and I, we need courage. Be courageous. Be bold to stand up against the onslaught of the wicked one. Be bold to stand against the flow of what the world says. Because listen, what does Jesus say? Broad is the way, and many there be that go therein. But we need to go the narrow. Be courageous to keep God's word. Verse 8, not only do we need to be courageous, but we need to cleave. We need to cleave unto the Lord your God. Look at it, but cleave unto the Lord your God as you have done unto this day. This word cleave means to cling tightly to, hold tightly to. There is an example of a tremendous fighter in 2 Samuel chapter 23. This word is used in this, and I believe it's such a great illustration for this word cleave. Excuse me, 2 Samuel 23. We're talking here about the mighty men of David, and verse 9 says this, and after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Oahite, one of the three mighty men with David. When they, I'm in verse 9 of 2 Samuel 23, when they defied the Philistines that were there gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away, he arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand, here's the word, clave unto the sword, that the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. You see, this word means, this cleave, as this warrior, his hand clave to the sword to the point that it was the very form of the sword and it could not be pulled away. He had held it so long and so hard and so intensely for that day that it was part of him. And so the call is cleave from Joshua. Cleave unto the Lord your God. May His word and His attributes and His truth be such that they are a part of your life, that you hold so tightly to them that your life begins to be looking like His. Cleave unto the Lord your God, as you have done unto this day. Verse 9, for the Lord hath driven out from before you great nations and strong, but as for you, no man has been able to stand before you unto this day. One man of you shall chase 1,000, for the Lord your God, he it is that fights for you, as he has promised you. You notice in that verse right there, you see these two things we've already talked about, don't forget. Don't forget the Lord has fought for you. Don't forget the Lord has made promises unto you. Do you see it right there? It says, one man of you shall chase 1,000, for the Lord your God, he it is that fights for you as he has promised you. Don't forget this. So not only are we to be courageous and to cleave, but we need to love the Lord your God. Verse 11, take good heed therefore unto yourselves that you love the Lord your God. Else, if you do in any wise go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them, and go in unto them, and they to you. So you need to love the Lord your God, because if you don't love the Lord your God, then you're going to know for certainty, for a certainty. You see how it says that in verse 13? Know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from off this good land which the Lord your God has given you. Know for a certainty. Listen, if we choose to not obey God and not cleave unto Him and not be courageous, then we can know for sure that we will not experience God's blessing, but that you will experience the opposite. And that's what Joshua wants the people of Israel to know. Know for a certainty. Know for sure. Last time we talked, we made mention of how the Bible says, in speaking of the Reubenites and the Gadites and the tribe of Manasseh, when they asked Moses for permission to establish their inheritance on the eastern side of the Jordan, Moses exhorted them, "It is okay, but you must go across and fight with my people until the land is taken. And if you do not," these words were said, "be sure your sin will find you out." And church, let us be certain we cannot hide from God. And we cannot hide any of our sin from Him. Be sure your sin will find you out. Know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more bless you and help you and fight for you, but rather the opposite will be true. You shall perish from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. Verse 14, "Behold, this day I'm going the way of all the earth," he says. "You know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing has failed thereof." You know what? Not only do we need to remember the Lord has fought for us, the Lord has promised what the Lord has promised unto us, but we need to remember the Lord is faithful. I mean, he has done everything he said he would do, he says. Not one thing has failed. "Therefore it shall come to pass," verse 15, "that as all good things are come upon you, which the Lord your God promised you, so shall the Lord bring upon you all evil things until he have destroyed you from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you, when you have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God which he commanded you, and have gone and served other gods and bowed yourselves to them. Then shall the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and you shall perish quickly from off the good land which he hath given unto you." You see, he's making another promise. This is a promise that there will be judgment unto you if you do not obey me. So remember what God says. He's fought for you, and he has promised to bless you, but he has also promised to judge you. You know, church, we only have one life to live. And this moment is already past. And moment by moment goes, and it's never able to be retrieved. Our life is just a short blink in eternity. How are you living? You know, final words of Joshua here to these people. You know, "I'm going the way of the earth. I am going to die. I will not be your link, the living link or bridge back to these glorious days of Moses. You will not have that anymore, but you have the word of God. You have the truth and the memory and the promises. He's fought for you. He's made promises unto you. He's faithful. He's not failed you. He has not failed you. Has the Lord failed you? Has he? No, he's not. And he will not fail you. So be courageous, church. Take a stand. Cleave to the Lord your God. And may your life be conformed evermore, every day, to be more like Jesus Christ. Love the Lord your God, and know for a certainty that your sin will find you out. Jesus, thank you for your word. And I thank you for these words from Joshua and what a blessing they are to us. What a teaching, what a challenge they are. Oh God, use it as you see fit in the lives of your people. Lord, we walk out of this place and we enter into a work week where we will be in amongst those in the world. Help us, Lord, to be courageous. Give us strength and boldness. In Jesus' name, amen.